Turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, we're reading verses 15 through verse 21. And I'll read those odd verses if you'll join me with the evens. And if you'll stand when you found that, we'll read God's Word this morning before the message. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse number 15. And then when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." And they say unto Him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to Me." And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to the disciples, and disciples to the multitude. And they did eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And let's pray. Lord, I thank You for the reading of Your Word, Lord. I do pray that You'd help the special before the message. Thank You for those who've come out today. I pray You'd just bless them for the presence here, Lord. Fill the preacher with Your Holy Spirit power. In Your name we pray. Amen.
When I, a poor lost sinner, before the Lord did fall, and in the name of Jesus for pardon loud did call, He heard my supplication, and soon the weak was strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Oft times the way is dreary, and rugged seems the road. Oft times I'm weak and weary, when bent beneath some load. But when I cry in weakness, "How long, O Lord, how long?" then Jesus takes the burden, and leaves me with a song. When I was crushed with sorrow, I bowed in deep despair. My load of grief and heartache seemed more than I could bear. 'Twas then I heard a whisper, "You to the Lord belong." Then Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. I'll trust Him for the future, He knoweth all the way. For with His eye He'll guide me along life's pilgrim way. And I will tell in heaven, while ages roll along, how Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song.
Thank you, Brother Stone, for that good song this morning. All right, this is a familiar passage of Scripture for you, and so I won't reread any particular verse at the moment. I want to speak for a little bit this morning on this subject. How many mouths will you feed? How many mouths will you feed? Let's pray together, and we'll ask the Lord's help today. Father, thank you for the good song. My heart was encouraged just listening to the truth of that song. I appreciate the fact that you lift our burdens, turn our heaviness and our sorrow into rejoicing and singing. And Lord, we know that one of these days, those sorrows and burdens will be forever lifted in that wonderful land called heaven. We need your help today. I know, Lord, the crowd is small or smaller, and this is a little bit different because of the circumstances, but God, your word is unchanging. It is as powerful today as it was last Sunday, as it will be next Sunday. So I pray that you'll please use your word in our midst today. Speak to our hearts. Help me, please, in these moments, I ask in Christ's name. And amen. For being married now for 35 plus years, I have learned one thing about women when they are hosting a group of people at their house, be it family members or be it guests that you have invited to have a meal at your house. And that is this, the most horrible thing on earth that could possibly happen to them is for them to run out of food. Running out of food is anathema. It is absolutely the very worst thing in the world that could happen. We went on a senior trip some years ago, and some of the young people who went on that senior trip are still in our church. Danny Gardner's class, Brett Hendrickson, Crystal Horman, Elizabeth Nemeth, Jody Thomason at that time. And we went down to the Atlanta area for the senior trip. And we stayed in a guest house of one of the many Baptist churches there in the Atlanta area. And we did not stay at my folks' house because their accommodations weren't large enough for the group. I think there was about 12 kids, dozen kids, maybe 13, and then Brother Don Reardon and myself. And we went to Six Flags Over Georgia. We climbed Stone Mountain. We went to Northeast Georgia and went down a whitewater raft ride there. And just had a great time in the Atlanta area. There's a lot to see and do there along the lines of the Civil War especially. I can't remember if we went to the Cyclorama or not, but anyway, doesn't matter. We went over to the mom and dad's house for a meal, and I think it was after we had spent a day outdoors. Now, it might have been the day that we climbed Stone Mountain. And if you spend any time outdoors, you know that when you're done, you're ravenous. And so mom had this gigantic taco salad prepared, but it had been a long time since she had hosted 12 teenagers who had been outside all day. And Brother Don and I were in the back of the line, and we were watching those kids go through it. I mean, they were just making themselves at home, and the plates were being heaped up, and I kept looking at the bowl, and I noticed that my mother was looking at the bowl too. But where I was looking at that bowl with amusement, she was looking at that bowl with horror. She watched it go down, 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 down. And I don't remember the last young person through the line, but whoever the last young person was in the line cleaned out that bowl, and Brother Don and I were left, and the food was gone. She was mortified. She was having a meltdown. And I said, Mom, it's okay. I said, what's in the fridge? And, of course, we're big leftover people. I know some folks aren't, but we're big leftover people. You probably heard me talk about Meemaw. She didn't waste a thing. And so, you know, she opened up, and, man, she started pulling out. You know, they had taco salad. We ended up with, I mean, lots better food. I think there was grilled salmon, and there was some kind of potatoes, and there was all kinds of beans, and there was salad, all this stuff. So while the kids were in there enjoying their taco salad, Brother Don and I were feasting on the leftovers from Mom's refrigerator. But it was one of the most horrible moments in all of her life. If you talk to her today, she still refers to that as, oh, it's terrible, just terrible. But anyway, that's what happens. Now, what you have here in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus and his disciples have been together for an entire day, and Jesus has been healing sick people. He's been teaching a multitude of folks who had gathered. And now it was getting close to evening. And the Bible says in verse number 15 that the disciples came to him and they said, Lord, the place is barren. We're in a desert. And they said, the time is late. You know, time is now past. And they said, the people are many. In fact, there's a multitude here. And then they said, they are hungry. You know, it's kind of funny to me. You read passages like this And we're on the outside looking in hundreds of years later. And, you know, it's like but don't be too hard on the disciples. I'm sure you and I would have been the same way. It's like the disciples came to the omniscient one, the one who knows everything, and says, you know, Lord, in case this has escaped your attention, you know, it's getting late, and there's not a lot of fast food places out here, and we're running out of victuals, which is, I guess, a synonym for the word victuals, you know, food. And, you know, look, we got a lot of people here, and we better get these people out of here before McDonald's closes, or we're going to have problems. Kind of what they said. To the omniscient one, like he wasn't aware of what was going on, you know, they had to fill him in. And though, so after that, Jesus said to them something I know that had to startle them. Jesus said, they don't need to go away. Why are you sending them away? Give ye them to eat. And of course, they came back and told the Lord Jesus in verse number 17, they said, Lord, all we have here is 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish. And folks, I don't think we're talking here about foot-long loaves from Subway. Okay? We're probably talking about, you know, very small pieces of bread that a little boy would carry in his lunch, right? And not 2 big pieces of fish, probably just a couple of little fishes, small fishes, that she had packed in his basket that day before he left the house. They've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse number 9, I believe it's Philip who says to Jesus about these 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish, Philip says, he asked this question, but what are they among so many? Yeah, we've got food here. We've got 5 pieces of bread. We've got 2 pieces of fish. But what are they among so many? There's a lot of mouths to feed. You've heard that statement. You'll talk to somebody about your Christmas plans or your Thanksgiving plans. What are you doing for Christmas? Well, we're having everybody over. How many folks is that? Well, my guess would be about 25 people. Man, that's a lot of mouths to feed. We have 5 pieces of bread, 2 pieces of fish, and there's a lot of mouths to feed. Now, that was a good question when Philip asked, what are they among so many? There were 5,000 men there, the Bible says. So if we do the math for just a moment, you got 5,000 men. We have no doubt about that. And then it says, beside women and children. If 1/2 of the men were married, that's 2,500 women. And if the couples averaged 3 kids per couple, that's 7,500 children. So 5,000 men plus 2,500 women plus 7,500 kids is 15,000, and that's not counting any unmarried women or others that might just not have been included in that statement right there. So, folks, realistically, there was probably 15,000 to 20,000 mouths to feed. That's a lot of mouths to feed. I doubt anybody here has ever had that problem. And you only had 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish to do it. How many mouths are you going to feed? Now, we're going to let this little boy's lunch this morning represent our lives. Okay? I'm going to let this little boy's lunch represent my life, and I want you this morning to let the little boy's lunch represent your life. Jesus took that little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he satisfied the hunger of that multitude of people and had 12 baskets left over. 12 baskets remain. I'll make 4 statements this morning about this matter right here. How many mouths will you feed? Number one, listen carefully. Jesus did not ask for any more than the boy had. He didn't ask for any more than the boy had. When Philip said, Jesus, whoever it was, Andrew or Philip, one of the two, I think it was Andrew that actually found the boy and brought him, and Philip asked the question. When they told Jesus there are 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish, Jesus didn't throw his hands up in the air and say, okay, I can't do anything because I need a loaf of bread and I need a string of fish. He didn't ask for any more than what he had. What do you have? We have 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish. And Jesus said, that's fine. Bring them hither to me. You have 5 pieces of bread? That's plenty. You have 2 pieces of fish? That's fine. I don't want any more than what you have. Now, friend, I think that's something sometimes that maybe prohibits us from really selling ourselves out to God and giving Him our lives, is we are afraid that what He wants us to do, we are incapable of doing. And I thought about you, Brother Cranston, when I was looking over my notes for this morning. This is not the message that I intended to preach. I have a full-blown message that I wrote for this morning. I'm going to save it for next week. So I switched gears early, got up at 5 o'clock, saw the snow, and I said, they ain't coming. Okay, so, but anyway, most of you did. But anyway, I thought about Brother Cranston. You know, because what he has done at, what are you, 52, pardon me, got that wrong, okay. 52 years of age, resigning after 22 years of church that he basically built from about 17 people. Up to what it is today. I think Adam told me they had 170-something a couple weeks ago. I don't know what they're on. You know, what he's doing is not the norm. And I know a little bit more than maybe what you're privileged to know right now, because he and I have been in some discussions, and he was telling me even last night some things that have been going on in the state of North Carolina and the state of Iowa. But they're seeing some, you know, he's not in this thing just for the purpose of running to the state capitol and praying with the legislators. His purpose is to influence the legislation that is being written. Legislators will leave. Laws that they write will hang around. But you know, you had to think. When God began to make it clear to you what He wanted you to do, you had to think, I can't do this. I can't do this. And whether it's Brother Cranston or you, or me, I think we need to remember, folks, that God never asks us for more than we have. We don't need to be concerned about what we can't do, because God's not going to ask for that. You know, I wouldn't ask, I've used this illustration before, I wouldn't ask, you know, I saw one of the Adams boys here earlier this morning, I wouldn't ask you, like Christian Adams, to come up here and, Christian, would you please carry this baby grand piano, if that, I don't know if it's a baby grand or if it's a teenage grand or if it's an adult grand, but anyway, would you carry this piano to the back of the auditorium for me? I wouldn't ask Christian Adams to do that. I wouldn't put that upon him. That would be cruel and unusual punishment to ask a first grade boy to carry that piano. But it wouldn't be a cruel and unusual punishment for me to ask a first grade boy to take this book back to the back of the auditorium. God's not going to ask us for any more than we have. When they came to Jesus and had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, He didn't say, sorry, it can't be done. Unless I have more than that. You know, I think about what Moses had in his question, had in his hand, when God had Moses said, I can't do this, God. I can't lead these people out of the land of Egypt. God said, what do you got in your hand? He said, I got a rod. That's enough. God didn't want any more than Moses had. God didn't want any more than what you have. God doesn't want any more than what I have. He doesn't ask us for more than we have. You know, I think this is one of the great things about pilots over the years. It's, I think, hopefully been helpful for these young people to understand, you know, they can get up and sing in a church service. They can get up and bring a lesson in a Sunday school class. They can enter into a debate, possibly. They can do this and they can do that. It's one of the things that I hope pilots has really helped the young people learn, and that is that God does not ask for more than we have. God doesn't ask for more than we have. So if God's been working on your heart about anything special or anything in particular for Him, and you've been a little bit hesitant to surrender to God and what He's asking for with the feeling of, I can't do it, that really isn't legitimate. Because God's not going to ask you or me for more than we can give. For more than we have. So Jesus did not ask for any more than the boy had. But then let me hasten to say, number two this morning, Jesus did not ask for any less than the boy had. When they came to Jesus and they said, we've got 5, this boy right here has a lunch. And he has 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish. Jesus didn't say, okay, let's tell you what, I'll take 3 of the bread and 1 of the fish and that's enough. No. He wasn't satisfied with that. How much bread do you have? Have 5 loaves. How much fish do you have? Have 2 fishes. Okay, I'll take the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He's not concerned about the 6th loaf and the 8th loaf and the 10th loaf and the 5th, the 5th fifth or sixth fish that the boy didn't have, but he wasn't going to settle for three fish or three pieces of bread and one piece of fish. He didn't ask for any more, but he certainly didn't ask for any less. He asked for the whole lunch. And people, when God wants to use our lives, when God wants to bless our lives, He doesn't ask us for any more than we have, but He doesn't settle for any less either. If you want to be blessed, you want to feed a few mouths with your life, you don't have to be worried about what you can't do. But you can't keep what you do have. You've got to give Him all of it. You know, I've used this illustration before. I had these two keys here in my pocket. I pulled them out of my envelopes in my desk drawer this morning. And just a cursory glance of those keys right there, and somebody even putting them together like that, side by side, so if you didn't look very, very carefully, you would say without hesitation that those are the exact same keys. There's something different about these two keys other than their color. One is gold and one is silver, but that's just the color that the key person had when they made the keys. They look very, very, very similar, but they are quite different. This silver key right here is what is called a sub-master key. This silver key will get you into almost every room in this building. It'll unlock the door, if it has a lock on it, it'll unlock the door of almost every door. It'll unlock the outside doors. It'll unlock some of the other doors, the nursery doors. It'll unlock most of the doors in this building. It's called a sub-master key. This is what is known as a grand master key. The difference in the grand master key and the submaster key is that the grand master key opens every door in the facility. It can get into any room. It has access to every closet. Has access to every office. Where this key doesn't have access to some places, this key has access to every place. And if you look at these two keys, they look so similar, but there is just a tiny little bit of notch in this gold key that is not in this silver key. And that is the mechanical difference in the two keys. But what they represent is what I want us to focus on this morning. This key gets anybody into most of this building. This key gets people into everything in this building. And when God wants to use my life and your life, He's not going to settle for that key. He's not going to settle for us to give Him access to almost everything. Well, God, I'm happy for You to have this part of my life and this part of my life and this part of my life and this part of my life, but this part of my life I'm going to reserve for myself. This part of my life I am not going to turn over to You. As Brother Cranston talked about in the lesson this morning, I'm not going to submit to the truth of Your Word on this part of my life. I'm happy for You to have this key, which gives You access to almost everything in my life, but I'm going to reserve this. And folks, when we approach serving God with that kind of attitude, He can't bless us. We won't feed as many mouths as we could feed if we give Him. We don't have to worry about more. But He won't settle for less. He wants the whole thing. Give Him the grand master key of your life. That means I submit every area of my life over to the principles and the truth of God's Word. I don't hold anything back for reservation for myself. It's all His. Now, when this little boy's lunch, when this little boy was found and he had this lunch, Jesus didn't ask for any more than the boy had, but Jesus didn't ask for any less. Do you want to feed a lot of mouths with your life? Don't worry about God asking for more than what you have. But don't dare give Him less than what He asked for. Number three, my lunch in my hands will only go as far as I can make it go. My lunch in my hands will only go as far as I can make it go. Let me ask you moms a question this morning. When that boy started his day, he said, "Mom, I'm going to be gone for the day. Could you pack me a lunch?" For whatever reason, he intended on being gone for the day. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say that he intended to find the Lord Jesus and just sit all day and listen to Jesus preach and teach. I don't know that he did, but let's just suppose. We're not told why. When he left the house, he asked his mom to pack him a lunch. So ladies, as mom was packing his lunch, do you think she packed that lunch for him and two or three of his buddies? Or do you think she packed that lunch for him? You know, when Mom used to pack us a lunch for school. Y'all ever heard of Vienna sausages? You want to prevent people from eating, you know, kids you're eating lunch with, from asking if they can have a part of your lunch? Give your kids Vienna sausages. Nobody ever asked if I could share my lunch. When Mom packed our lunches before we left the house to go to school, Mom put in our lunch baskets enough food, put in my basket enough for me. Right? So when this little boy left the house this morning, that morning, I'm confident that all the mother did was put enough in his bag for him. Five pieces of bread, if they're little small pieces of bread, two pieces of fish. This maybe wasn't even the boy's biggest meal of the day. He probably would still be a little bit hungry after, especially if he's a teenage boy. These five pieces of bread, two pieces of fish were designed to feed him. And my life, kept to myself, will only feed one mouth. In fact, Jesus said, if you save your life or keep it, you'll lose it. All you do if you keep your life in your hands is feed your mouth. Just one person. And even in feeding yourself, it might have been like this little lunch, that little lunch was for this boy. It may not have fed him sufficiently. So when the Lord comes along, He doesn't ask for any more than I have. Neither does He ask for any less than I have. But I decide I am not giving my life to Jesus. I'm going to hold it for myself. I can expect for that lunch, my life, to feed one person and one person only. And that would be me. And it may not even do a good job feeding me. Number four. My lunch in Jesus' hands will go as far as Jesus can make it go. Now, can you imagine that little guy? We read Scripture and we just blow through it. And like Brother Cranston said, we're brought up with these stories from the time that we went to nursery Sunday school or toddler Sunday school and the feeding of the 5,000, one of the few miracles that's recorded in all four Gospels. So we've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. But we really don't take the time to stop and imagine this thing. Can you imagine when they bring that little boy with his basket to the Lord Jesus and He hands those five pieces of bread and two pieces of fish to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, I love it, Jesus blessed. The first thing He did was He blessed it. He didn't bless it when it was in the boy's hands. He blessed it when it was in His hands. It's the first thing He did. He got those five pieces of fish and those two pieces of bread, and He blessed that lunch. And I want to say this more. You know, there are some generic blessings because God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. There are some generic blessings of life that we will enjoy even if we keep our life to ourselves. But we will never see our life blessed like God can and wants to bless it until it ends up in His hands. It has to be in His hands. And so that little boy transfers his lunch to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, first thing He does when He takes that lunch into His hands is He blesses it. And then He breaks it. And I won't tell you this morning that if you really give your life to God for His use, that everything will always be rosy. It won't all be fun and games. We were talking last night. There was a time in his ministry where the Lord broke him. And that's what God did to this lunch. Jesus did to this lunch. He got it in His hands and He blessed it and then He broke it. And ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, and even you young people here this morning, you know, we encourage our young people. Not everybody's supposed to go into full-time ministry, but that's not the issue. The issue is give your lunch, give your life to God. Let Him decide what to do with it. But I'm going to tell you, I would not be an honest preacher of the Word of God if I didn't tell you that when you put your life in His hands on the way to multiplying it, He probably is going to break it. And that's not always enjoyable. He broke that little boy's lunch into pieces and he began to pass it into baskets, evidently, of some kind, because they took the food up in baskets. And as he broke that bread and broke that fish and broke that bread and broke that fish, it just multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And we don't even stop to think about it. A lunch that at one time was designed to barely feed one mouth fed 15,000. And some left over. Unbelievable. Jesus did that with the little boy's lunch, and I can say this morning that that's what God does with a life totally yielded to Him. A life that is not held in reserve because we're afraid of what we can't do, because we understand He never asks us for more than we have. But a life that is also not held in reserve because we give less than what He asked for. Well, here, let me give you three pieces of fish. A bread and one piece of fish. No, that's not going to do. A life designed to barely satisfy one mouth, now a lunch designed to satisfy one mouth just barely, now satisfies 15,000 people, and they had seconds. It was like a buffet. They ate all that they wanted until they said, no more. 15,000. Now let me ask you a question this morning. How many mouths will you feed? How many mouths will your life feed? And I can promise you, friend, that you know each one of us, he talked about the free will of man, and that is so absolutely necessary for us to understand that man was different than God, all of God's other creation, and that He designed us with a free will. We talked about that in the series of separation, that God put Adam in the Garden of Eden and then put one tree in restriction, one tree off limit, and that tree was within Adam's ability to reach. Adam's free will had never been demonstrated, could never have been demonstrated if that tree wasn't within reach. But it was within reach. And that was because God created Adam with a free will. And God wanted Adam to choose to obey Him and choose to love Him. And you've been given a life and I've been given a life. And it is totally, totally within the power of our free will just to hang on to it. It's within our power. But the resulting effect of that is I'll feed one mouth and that barely. On the other hand, I can give my life to God. And how many mouths will I feed? You say it's a good lesson for teenagers. No, it's not just a good lesson for teenagers. It's a good lesson for everybody. After almost 25 years in service here, as a pastor, 10 years as an assistant pastor, I don't want to take my hand, I don't want to put my hands back on my lunch. I gave my lunch to Him years ago. I'm sure there are times when I have put my hands on it and said, give it back. And I don't want to do that. I try to give Him my lunch every day of my life. I have no idea how many mouths God will yet let my life feed. And the same is true about you. You don't have to be a preacher. I was talking to Frank Kent yesterday, and he was talking about being at work this week and how excited he was that he got to talk to this man for a long period of time about salvation and the Bible. And there's a man feeding somebody else. And that's what I'm talking about today. Jesus did not ask for more than the boy had. Jesus did not ask for less than the boy had. The little boy's lunch in his hand was only designed to feed one mouth. But in the hands of Jesus, after Jesus blessed it and broke it and multiplied it, it fed 15,000 mouths. I've often wondered what mom had to say to that boy when he went home. Huh? Did he get one of those 12 leftover baskets? That's all speculation, isn't it? We don't know. Maybe he didn't get any of that leftover food, but I won't tell you what he had, brother. He had a story to tell Dad and Mom. Amen. Absolutely. Sit down. Let me tell you something. Now, there's only one for me, Terry Angel, when I read Matthew 14, 15 through 21, there is one depressing thought that comes from this passage. And this is for me. But it's pretty depressing if I let myself think about it. This lunch came from a little boy. I didn't give my lunch to Christ until I was 19. I had opportunities to give it to him earlier, but I didn't. And I guess I'm just left to wonder about what could have been, what may have been. I'm not complaining. I'm not upset. I'm very thankful with what God has done to allow me to be a blessing to folks and help me to be a blessing to people. I thank God for it. It's not me, it's Him. It's not in my hands, it's in His. But I have to wonder what could have been. So if you're a lad here this morning, or a lass, are you a young person? Don't do what I did. Don't wait till you're 19. Give him your lunch like this little guy. Because Andrew said there's a lad here. A little boy. Amen. Gave his lunch to Christ. A little boy. I am positive that, you know, everybody here this morning somewhat evidence of a dedicated Christian for you to come out and be in church today. So I'm pretty positive that everybody here at some point in time has heard a message or 10 messages on the subject of giving Christ your life. And yes, it's kind of a generic theme. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't hurt us to be reminded of it again and again. How many mouths will you feed? That's all determined by whose hand holds your lunch. Whose hand? Hold your lunch. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And even miracles and stories like this one that we have heard over and over again have the potential, the ability to bless us, teach us, help us, convict us. And Father, even themes that we've heard from childhood have the ability to reach out in the power of your Spirit and grab our hearts again. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll help. What a great illustration of what we're preaching about this morning, that here at 52 years of age, Brother Cranston again is placing his lunch in your hand. Do with it what you will, O God. Father, if there's anybody in this room here this morning, a lad, a lass, or somebody older who has still got their life in reserve, I pray that on this snowy Sunday morning with terrible traveling conditions, I pray that your Spirit will speak to a heart today, this morning. At this moment, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and under the conviction of God's Spirit, you're lost and unsaved, you can sure come to Christ this morning. But if you're here and throughout the course of this message, God spoke to your heart in any way, shape, or form, and on a theme that you no doubt have heard many times, but this morning, the Spirit of God renewed or rekindled a little bit of a spark in your heart, take your hands off your lunch. God's not going to ask for any more, but He's not going to be satisfied with any less. Give your life to Him, afresh and anew, for whatever He intends to do with it. If God spoke to your heart today, do Him the honor of responding at this altar this morning. Heavenly Father, bless the invitation to our hearts today. Thank you for your word. Help us today to afresh and anew give our lunch to you, our lives to you, and to continue that pattern all throughout the days ahead as long as you let us stay on this earth. And Father, would you multiply it and feed many mouths in Jesus' name. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. You obey the Lord this morning if God spoke to your heart. Don't be hesitant about it. We don't need to stay here forever.